In need of an ice-cold beer? Look no further than Truman's Sports Bar, located at 1818 Sydney Street in historic Soulard. Stop in and take the complimentary shuttle to and from any home sporting event. Not attending the game? No problem. Just pony up and watch your favorite St. Louis sports teams on their large covered patio, all while enjoying domestic beer bucket specials and other drink specials during the game. Hungry? Come on down and grab a signature burger or try one of their $7.95 food specials served up all day, every day. Truman's and Soulard, your neighborhood bar.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Doug is my jam.
Mm-hmm. Poetry is my jam.
Intellectual thing. The Huck Let This Breathe.
Like to bang to this
bang drums.
As you know, I can't get erect. It's just something that's plagued me.
What do you mean, as I know?
That little incident.
I think I've been there or something.
That little incident.
But I think I could, if this were on in the background, because right now I feel a soft cow coming on. I see it on the horizon. Anyway, Dave Matter at 8:30. Is Kira, is that who it is, Plowhawk? Doug Kira.
Okay. What was she singing about? Sound like a loofah?
Listen, you'll understand after you hear it.
What did you say, Juice Newton?
That's right. Loofah. Angel of the Morning? Queen of Hearts? Say you're sorry, honey, but you never really show me. Gold up in my teeth.
Doug, it seems like they have one of those instruments, like a piece of bamboo, and they just hit it in time.
Mm-hmm. Claves.
What's it called?
Claves.
It is cloudy. Mm-hmm. It is cloudy.
You hear the licorice stick in this at all?
No.
You think that they get like the best bamboo concussion guy they could find for the
probably the
studio
finest
session?
The finest, because it's a difficult instrument to play.
What are that, Blue Buddha Studio? Is that?
Yeah. I wonder if we have that. Is that dropped in the system by chance, in your jock, whatever the hell that is?
No, but I could get it from the, I think we did the anniversary video for the
10th
anniversary.
Yes, I think that's that right. It's on YouTube.
So let's see where we are. Yesterday, there was a drop by Cassie.
Sassy Cassie. Are those in the system already?
I like.
I would
cookies.
Imagine they're in the Bert Early Cutlery Cuts of the Week. I would have to imagine.
But
she
I
want to
see if we could. What if someone liked cookies? Is there anything that you have for that one?
Yeah, we put about 5 or 6 in there yesterday. They're in there.
I like cookies.
Oh. Pretty good, Plowsy. Wow, it's like technology. And Tim messed up the phone system now.
No, I think. Well, I'm excited. The phones are working.
I heard it ringing.
But then the Sea Monster showed me how to do it. And I think I just did it, Sea Monster. What?
What'd you do?
He showed me how to turn off the ringer.
Oh, because you hit a lot of buttons.
I know, but he showed
me. No, I highly enjoy the penis.
God, jeez.
It was little person Sassy Cassie. Tim, will you lay your soft cow on Doug's hard pillow? That's from the 314. Tim, I banged out to that song last week. No joke. That's from Ray King. Yeah, that seems like that's kind of the jam. Like if I were to have sex, and of course I can't. I just can't.
No.
But if I were to.
Yeah.
I think I could do some work there for about 30, 35 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
Wrong.
What did you say, Doug? The music that gets you in a romantic mood is Oak Ridge Boys? Is that
something
right?
Like that.
Oh, yeah.
Elvira, deep voice. Elvira. Different strokes for different folks, Timmy.
How do I go about developing erectile dysfunction so I can be just like Tim? Thanks. That's from Stubby Applause.
All right. Good question, Stub.
There's no bad question, Doug.
No.
Only the question that isn't asked.
I guess. No, there are bad questions, and that was one of them.
Anything about someone's grandma seeing it or something like that? I wonder if that's a good one. Testing Plowsy right
now. You are. That Plow Brewer's all over it, too. Guys, Biff is proof that the cream always doesn't rise to the top. That's from the 217. You can say whatever
what
about Biff.
What kind of comment is that?
He's out there bawling hard. And I think a lot of people would like to trade places with Biff in Las Vegas, fresh off a night at the Spearmint Rhino and dropping $20K on the Rams under as opposed to driving to their cubicle out in
He has a very successful construction business.
Why do people hate on...
Envy, bitch!
That's really what it is?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and anybody who calls is going to get murdered by people.
You know, I think some people, about with Graham Benzinger's success in the industry are
Oh, really?
Jealous
is
of that
right? I didn't know that, because he's kind of, to me, he's kind of doing a separate thing, but I really never see anybody.
He's got a big-time show, and I'm not saying this because the thought had never crossed my mind that we hope he brings in donuts.
No. So you're saying it would be nice. So he brings in donuts.
What? Would be nice.
How dare you?
There's quite a few donut shops in the area.
Tim, you don't have to be hard to bottom. Think about that. It's the 314.
Well, there's a tip for the ages.
It is true, though, isn't it?
Doug would know.
I don't know.
Than the rest.
I don't know.
When someone puts "think about it," it does make you. Because there's a command. A call to action
there
in
is.
The statement. All right, I'm going to think about it. I don't know what it means.
I'm not going to think about it.
Text in if you would like, 855-282-TALK. It's 855-282-TALK. Program that on your phone because it's also the appliance discounters' phone lines. And, of course, it is our text inbox. And I mentioned the fan page, and I guess I haven't really promoted it much outside of on social media, but a billion people then just registered. So it's a TMA fan page, and that's where we have the DraftKings information. And we already have 81 spots filled for a game that will hold 200 people. I hear other places, they'll try to fill like 30-person games, and they can't do it. But they got the ratings. You can text in 855-282-TALK, and you can also call in on the same number, plus email, because we're giving away Cardinals tickets for the Cardinals and Cubs on Tuesday, so that's a great prize. This is the kind of prize where somebody usually will email in and try and get a sympathy vote. Try
not
to take
happen. Right.
And I can just tell you that's not how you win.
I've never been to a game, and I've got but 2 days to live.
Right.
It would be wonderful to spend my last evening at the Cardinal-Cub game.
No.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
No, just write in something really gay. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. Tim, have you ever had the chicky chicky spee spee at Rizzo's off Lemay Ferry? It's fine. That's from Goat Boy. I think I have been to Rizzo's off Lemay Ferry. It's been about 15 years. And I did have the chicken spadini, actually.
How would you earn yourself the nickname Goat Boy?
That Jim Brewer character from Saturday Night Live.
Never liked it.
You didn't like the Goat Boy character? I don't really find him all that funny.
I don't either.
And I hate when he's on Stern, but they love him. And I just kind of go, all right, I don't listen.
He's funny when he does like bit parts in movies and everything, but I never liked his characters on Saturday Night Live. There was the Goat Boy and one of them.
What was the Half-Baked with Dave Chappelle? You ever watch that, Plowhawk? It seems like it might be up your alley.
I do. Lost a lot of respect for him when I realized he doesn't actually smoke weed.
Really?
What?
That's a fake persona, and I understand it's acting, but at least, you know, I'm pretty sure Dave Chappelle smoked a heavy amount of marijuana with that movie, so I would have respected him more if he did the same. So, a little disappointed.
Like, you understand?
I don't.
No.
Because our you guy's Half-Baked.
You don't respect a guy because he doesn't do drugs?
Well, when he has that stoner persona, kind of disappointing as a guy who loves the movie to realize that a guy you consider funny because he's high isn't actually high.
But there have been people who've played drunks that aren't really drunk.
Paul Newman.
Foster Brooks. Foster Brooks was one of the funniest guys I've ever seen in my life.
Dean Martin played the role.
Mm-hmm.
Foster Brooks hung himself at the end of Shawshank Redemption, didn't he?
What?
Wasn't he? Brooks was here? Wasn't that the actor's name was Foster Brooks?
I don't know.
I'm pretty
Foster
sure that.
Foster Brooks was like an old-time comedian.
Comedian who played a drunk, and he was just hysterical. Just really funny.
Yeah.
What?
I think he was okay.
Oh, I thought he was really funny.
Brooks was his first name. Brooks Hatlin
was the
his
actor?
Actual name. His name in the movie, I'm not for sure the actual
Yeah, but I
actor.
Thought the actor would happen to be Foster Brooks, but maybe I'm completely wrong, because if I'm not mistaken, the Rammies drafted somebody named Brooks Foster, who, of course, didn't pan out. Out of the North Carolina program, wide receiver. And he came to judge a bikini contest for us at Wave Taco.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think the actor is James Wiltmore.
All right, I was totally wrong. Not
Foster
even,
Brooks
not even remotely close.
Like he was 80 when, what was 19, what, 1970s? He was
already
80.
He wasn't that old.
He was really big in the Dean Martin roast era.
Yeah,
That's did you watch the Rob Lowe roast? Anna Marie and I watched that last night.
I did.
Yeah, I've yet to be able to watch the uncensored version, though, which it's awful when you can't hear the cussing.
Well, I mean, all they do is bleep out the F word. They say the other stuff, which is interesting. I don't know how comedy sounds. It's great that they can, but they can say
a lot of stuff.
But but outside of F. Oh, and I guess Ann Coulter was called the C word a few times. So that's bleeped out. But
yeah, I enjoyed it. I did.
You know who was good was Jewel.
She was kind really of a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ann Coulter got that. That was basically an Ann Coulter roast, is what that was.
But she wanted to go and push her book, and so she put up with it and pushed her book.
Yeah, now she's saying that they edited out all my funny stuff to make me look awful.
They did make her look awful. The editing was, it's like watching The Bachelor, and you know the editing is done. You know, they're on ISO tight shots, not that she was dropping, you know,
but they made
Bob
her
Hope
look
caliber
like,
material.
But they made her look like she was going to cry on the cutaways every time, too.
Oh, I didn't think that. Yeah. You know, I didn't think that. She just
like, almost kinda, like she didn't get the joke.
But they were all ISO shots, and so you couldn't tell if it matched up with the actual audio you were hearing. So I recognized it for what it was. I don't know, whatever. I mean, she's going into the lion's den there anyway.
The best joke of the night that I heard when David Spade was talking about Ralph Macchio had the big part in The Karate Kid, you honored your son. You had your first kid, and you named him Daniel. Daniel's son, to honor your big moment in movies. That would be like Rob Lowe naming his son nothing. I cramped up. I laughed so. And it was clean.
And so Tyler could enjoy that joke with
no,
you.
No, I was not with Tyler when I watched that. It was. I love those things. When I see like those guys get up there and just destroy someone, and really funny material, and I think to myself, now that's really funny.
It's good material.
Those are talented people to do that.
You wonder why people put themselves in that position to be trash like that. I mean, some of it has to be embarrassing, isn't it?
Well, there was a lot about Rob Lowe's affair with an underage girl. And
How old was he when that happened?
I don't know.
I guess he was in his 20s?
Yeah, I think so. And they were talking about his drug use and the fact that there were several accusations made by nannies. I mean, they did destroy him.
Oh, yeah, and his kids are sitting there and the whole deal.
I mean, does he need the attention that bad?
I think he does.
Or the money that bad to take that
from
kind of abuse?
From what I hear about Rob Lowe, I think he does.
Oh, is that right? How could he? He's been making movies and TV shows for a couple decades.
Yeah, man, but if you want that house in the hills and you're trapped in Calabasas.
Yeah, like Tim said. And, you know, you can make in TV and everything. You still want to be on AM Sports Talk Radio.
Where's
so you're.
Bell? Where's my bell when I need it?
Here's a bell over, when I need it, boy. Here's a bell over here, Tim.
Nice, thanks, Doug. Oh, you both have bells today.
You can have my bell.
Now, sweet. Now the owner has a bell.
Yep, that's right.
You should label that Tim's bell.
That's right. Do not touch. Let's see what I got here. Doug, I got Lefty Jackspear, and I got Terry who wants to know how to get into the DraftKings game.
All right.
Who
either,
do you want?
Either would be fine. Lefty's an old-timer. Why don't you let him on first?
Yeah, Lefty.
Hello, hey, good
Lefty.
Morning, boys.
Yeah,
how
hello.
Are you?
Fine.
What's
Lefty,
the good word,
fine.
Lefty?
Oh, it's just driving in this rain. It's driving rain, and I'm driving in it.
Okay.
So I was going to – I know you guys are windows and the Cardinal game and whatnot, but the big story is the Shiloh homecoming is going on this weekend.
Oh, wow.
Shiloh homecoming.
A that's right. It's a big to-do. Great fellowship with great Americans. I didn't know if maybe you guys could maybe shoot out for a little bit, you know, meet over by the Ferris wheel or something.
You got to be kidding me.
I missed the invite to the fellowship bash. No, it's great. I'll have my kids up there. I'm going to sell some cookies for the Boy Scouts.
What time do you want to meet by the Ferris wheel?
I don't know, like 8?
All right. I'm going to try to make it, Doug. Can you try?
No.
When is this, tomorrow or tonight, baby?
It's both.
Both of them.
Both right. Days, yeah.
I'll meet
there's
you there at
tonight,
8 o'clock both days.
Not rain.
And when you say the Shiloh homecoming, what these are people just from Shiloh? Or there's not a Shiloh high school, is there?
No, there's not a high school. They go to O'Fallon, but... There's Shiloh Elementary. My wife's actually from Shiloh. I'm a transplant, but they have this carnival thing every year, and it's kind of fun. I don't know.
Yep, I know all about that with that St. Gabriel School picnic. That was a high holiday.
Yeah. Probably very similar. A lot of booze, a lot of carnival rides. Kids have a good time.
Amen.
It's like a half a mile from my house so I can walk home.
Huh. Godspeed, sir.
All right, well, I'd love to be there, but Lady Journalism has her claws in me.
Take a break.
Not even tomorrow?
Lady Journalism won't permit it.
All right. Well, I guess let me get a shout out. Timmy Recaps is coming out. I want to tell him we'll be over by the Scrambler tomorrow evening about 5:30.
They have a teacup?
I haven't seen the teacup. They've been setting it up right outside my kid's school, but I haven't seen the teacups up
there. Yeah, that's a heck of a ride.
They got the Hammerhead, though.
Have they?
I love that one. Some kid threw up in it last year, though.
That's amazing.
I like the Carney folk when they're there for the setup. They seem like solid Americans.
All right. Well, I wanted to make sure I got you guys the invite. I know you lost the one in the mail, or the one got lost in the mail for the fellowship.
Didn't know the fellowship match, Doug.
Didn't see that.
Thank you for the invite, Lefty. Enjoy the Shiloh homecoming.
Thank you, Lefty.
Doug, people are coming in fast and furious in the TMA. Let's get us to 4,000 members in this show today. Let's do that. Let's really try this time.
Okay.
All right, how do you do that, Tim?
I'm going to name the names of the people who joined the TMA fan page on Facebook, and I bet we get to 4,000.
All right, but if someone wants to find this, what is the name of the and how do you, Doug, you navigate?
You go to Facebook.com, and then in the little search bar, you type TMA fan page. And now you will be part of the discussion in which gentlemen and ladies throughout the land study this show, the nuances of it.
Yeah.
So you said fan page / TMA / drafting.
Just Facebook.com.
I'm sorry. I get confused.
Alan Krenn, Doug, has just been approved.
Alan Craig?
No.
I wonder where he's been.
Alan Krenn. Krenn. Oh, look. Eric Owens is now a member.
Oh, Owensy. Yeah.
What about James Michael Williams?
Yeah.
He's a member. Oh, you were asking about Jared Novosel?
Yeah.
He's a member.
Got him.
Novi's in, though.
Oh, you were asking about Jeff Harris? Got him.
Yeah, Harry.
And Preston Pierce? He's now a member. Oh, what about Matthew Camphy?
Hello, Camphy.
Comfy, they call him Comfy Camphy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, good guy.
What about Drew Homan?
Drew, thanks for joining.
He's a Southern Illinois University Carbondale gentleman. Graduated in 2013. Doug, the audience, they get younger and the younger. I don't know why. The content's very mature.
Yeah. You know what you ought to do is get little key fobs made and send them out to the people that join the fan.
That's not a bad idea.
A little key fob for you.
Jimmy Childress, he's in.
Welcome, Jimmy. Fob is in the mail with your name on
it. Joe Childress was a pretty good running back for the football Cardinals in the 60s.
Oh, you wanted
Number
Tammy
35.
Hilton? We got her. Tammy Hilton's in. Bradley Erdberger?
Erdzy.
Bob Burns, the bench warmer.
Oh, gosh, yeah. The Bulldog. Bulldog Bob Burns.
This gentleman's retired after serving in the United States Air Force, and he's a member of the fan
There's page. No reason for that, sir.
With all due respect, I agree with
you. You could lose your military benefits if they find out that you're on that fan page.
Doug Wright? Doug is right. He's in. Yep. Jason Unfersgat?
Unfersgat. Yeah.
He's in. Eric Fuchs? I think he might be the son of Fungo. He's in. Trevor John Shields, he's in. I think we're going to get to 4,000. Clay Coughlin, he's in. Ben Shearer, he's in. Timmy Cummings, he's in.
So these are all people, as they sign up, you get their name.
Yep. Jennifer Schwain, nurse. She lives in Alpharetta, Georgia, Doug. Well, guess what? She's a member of the fan page.
Right there in the Atlanta suburbs, right?
Casey Sullivan, member of the fan page. Steve Kramer, member of the fan page. I think we're going to get to 4,000, Doug.
Boy, that's a.
This is a call. That was a call to action.
That's a thing to be proud of. Did you hear? I joined the fan page. I announced it on the air.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're sending me a key fob.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of thing you can peacock around.
She can go all around Alpharetta and tell her friends that.
And then Cal Kennedy just texted me to say, "Correct on Eric."
I didn't know Fungo had a child. I assume.
And they look just alike. They look alike. I met Eric at the St. Gabriel's golf tournament, and I said, "You look exactly like your father."
Yeah.
But he's not an official, I don't believe.
That's how the gene pool works sometimes. But I'm sure that he's an up-and-coming official and learning how to throw a game, how to fix it, how to rig it.
Serious charge. We were making reference to Lou Fest. It is this weekend. I'm looking forward to this. The weather is supposed to be perfect for it. If anything, there might be a chill in the air as the temperatures will be in the low 60s at night, but high 70s during the day after the rain clears out tomorrow morning. It's supposed to be beautiful. The 7th annual Lou Fest is taking place. It's coming Saturday and Sunday, and Inside STL has an exclusive area inside the event. Bomber O'Brien's is running a free shuttle from Bombers to the Lou Fest site. Shuttle begins running at 3 p.m., and return shuttles will begin at 9 p.m. Great food and drink specials all Lou Fest weekend at Bomber O'Brien's. Bomber O'Brien's, located at South Kings Highway in Beck, one block south of Chippewa. To see the map or the Inside STL areas on the festival map, check InsideSTL.com for details. The exclusive area is next to the Shade Stage. Our exclusive area is next to the Shade Stage and right below Market Square. A private cash bar, dedicated restrooms, TVs with college and NFL football and yard games, food samplings, and, of course, mingling with your favorite show hosts. We'll see you at Forest Park this weekend. I am looking forward to this. I think we might have a pony show. I don't have a lot of ponies in St. Louis. I think I might have a pony. That's why I'm disappointed you're not going, Plowhawk. We could have gotten all sketched out together. And seen what would have happened.
Maybe Sunday is also a day you can go, because maybe if I'm go to the Cardinal game with Colorado. Maybe I can swing by afterwards.
And then would you bring Colorado and his wife, who he said he bought fake breasts? Is that what he said?
Yeah, I'd bring the fake boob broad and Adam.
That's no way to refer to his wife.
No, she's great people.
You guys hang out?
No, we met at the wiffle ball, turn his bat, and and it was fine.
He's
was
tired.
Yeah, are you tired or are you high? Because yesterday I was pretty sure you were tired. Super high. Today you're
just exhausted, and it was one of those
I feel
mornings.
Terribly for it. I really do.
Well, this is the first time I woke up late. Well, 5 o'clock, it felt really like I woke up late. Because, you know, you have to take care of the dog and get out here. But everything's fine. I finished my tasks for the morning, and I'll wake up eventually. No shower, though.
You've been through a lot, though, because those guys were stealing your donuts, and that ticked you off.
I ended up getting a couple blueberry cake donuts, and they were
And you kept them close, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had them holstered right on my belt loop.
Oh, no.
No one should have to holster their donuts so that no one steals them.
I'm looking for... I like the office space out here. This is your second day driving here. What do you think?
Drive is fine. I mean, I would prefer it be heading into the city where I also work.
But what if it were only a mile away from your house?
No, it's beautiful. Oh, no, yeah. That's better. Well, trust me. But trust this me. Is, I mean, this wasn't
But the
as
drive
bad
isn't
I
that
thought.
Bad. But you, the Seamaster texted me and Doug, I guess. Didn't he? Didn't text you, though. Wonder what that was about. Anti-Semitic or something?
Yeah, but, what is that?
But I did, now that I think about it, like at 5:30 or 5:45 saying the 270 was backed up to his house.
But it wasn't. It was
when
back,
I got,
it was back
turn
to
turn on the Seamaster's mic and would you
at 55 follow? 270 was a mess, I know.
Well, 270 by my house, as soon as I pulled on, all I saw was a wall of cars.
And what time was this, like 5:30 or
this
something?
5:30 ish.
So why didn't you text me? Why wasn't
I know the cat lives on the 40 corridor. So he is not on 270 nearly as long
you
as you two gentlemen would.
I do.
We take we you get on Manchester, right?
Yeah, but yeah. You're barely on it. I know. I think I took.
No, but I'm Catholic and he's not, and I think that's the difference.
That's something to do with the lack of a text.
Anyhow, I do want to share an apology because apparently the accident must have been north of where I'm at, but south of where Doug and Tim are.
Wow.
So I probably
detoured
you guys for no reason.
No, I took a gander at 270s. I approached at Manchester, and it looked like it was flowing smooth. And that was like an hour after you texted me, so it was fine. Was it fine for you?
I didn't go there. I got scared off at 270. I went 44 to 141, which is still okay, but there's an occasional stoplight. Right.
I don't know how to navigate these parts.
The reason I bring it up is, you know, I did We Are Live yesterday at Wildwood Pub and Grill, the pitching wedge contest, and I get out there, and there's the Seamaster running the remote. It's 4 p.m. This guy gets in here, like around, I don't know, 5 or something, and I said, what in the hell are you doing? We got so many damn people working here, which is great. I like it. I didn't want to have to let people go when we, you know, did the deal. But with all the people that we have, I'm thinking to myself, the executive producer shouldn't be setting up a remote at 4 p.m. after he produced the morning show. And, you know,
why was he?
I said to him, I said, what are you doing? He goes, well, you know, I just wanted to make sure that it went right. And I'm like, that's why the Seamaster
he is good
is the best
he is
producer,
good.
But he just does his job and he doesn't bitch. A lot of us had to work hard and long hours over the last few weeks to get this thing going, and still are doing it. But it's just the way that it is. We signed up for it. I signed up for it anyway. And here's the Seamaster. He just does his job. He doesn't bitch. You can't put a dollar value on
Except the only critique I'd have is that, like, when he sends a warning text, he leaves out the Jewish employees.
Otherwise,
he's great.
But we will look into that. Hate HR, which
that'll
is
be part of my
suit
when this eventually
becomes. Maybe he needs sensitivity
training. 590 the gym.
Doug Dave Matter is going to join us, and you're going to ask him two questions about Eastern Michigan, and we're going to let him go.
Okay.
Then at 9 o'clock, Graham Bensinger is going to be in studio.
With donuts.
Is he bringing donuts?
I don't know.
That's the word on the street.
But I really do like his show, and I'm happy for his success. Season 7 debuts this Sunday night on Fox 2 at 10:30 with Adrian Peterson. He's had he had a two-part series with Jack Nicklaus, at Charles Barkley on. He's had some huge guests on. So he's in studio coming up at 9 o'clock, and I'm going to ask him for financials, which is completely uncool. But I was told I can, so I need to ask.
I'm going to ask him about crawlers, because hopefully he'll have a couple in that box of donuts you say he's bringing.
I'll ask about bear claws.
Nice. Oh, you wanted to know if Brandon Palmer is a member of the fan page?
I guess he is, probably, by now.
I just approved him, and Matt Carroll, and Bob Robertson, and Justin Smolin. And John Emke. Oh, and look at Lauren Hickey, Doug.
Wait, did you get that Emke kid?
Got him.
good.
Lauren, a lot of ladies, Doug. What do you mean about this? And they are in their 20s.
Fake account.
What?
The same bots.
We have five
that I
mutual
get.
Friends.
Lauren's in her 20s?
She is, Iggy. Do you know her?
I banged Lauren Hickney.
Okay. Okay.
Christ in heaven.
Maybe it's her daughter. Nice thing to bring up.
Jason Riegelsberger. I don't know if you hooked up
Riggsy.
With
yeah.
him. Yeah. Brian Kennedy. I want to get these people on, but there's so many damn requests that I was Sam Hohenstein.
Oh, yeah.
The cat, is he sponsored the W?
He didn't get a text either this morning.
Brad Raich. Brian Niehaus. Michael Letts. Mm-hmm. Eric Kassout. Kassout? Kassout? Doug?
I think it's Kassout.
Mark Jones. Tim Cummings. David Kohler. Bradley Erdberger. I thought I already said these names.
You did. You said
Erdberger. But if I said that you're going to request it,
I don't think you said the name.
Ashley Green. How about that?
Maybe Erdzy just wanted to hear his name again.
It might be. Yeah, you might actually be right. Heisman Trophy Christian. Huh. Scott Trippiano. Rob Kester. Isn't he running for governor? Is that Chris?
Yeah, it's Chris Koster.
Okay. Same thing.
You get the idea. All right. Anyway, Dave Matter is going to join us, and he is our DraftKings guest of the day. Don't forget, by joining the TMA fan page, you can see our information. It's posted at the top of the page for the DraftKings game. It's private to TMA listeners. DraftKings.com, the destination for one-week fantasy football. Use promo code QUARTERBACK and play in the free $100,000 contest this weekend. That's code QUARTERBACK at DraftKings.com now. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us right now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, our DraftKings guest of the day, Dave Matter. Dave, good morning.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Very good. Thank you so much. Missouri's a 24.5-point favorite tomorrow against Eastern Michigan, and I just don't know if I can see Missouri winning by 25 points over anybody, but I guess Eastern Michigan isn't necessarily anything special. So what do you think?
Yeah, they've got to score 24 points to be able to win by that many, and I'm not sure they're ready to do that yet against anyone. But though, if you look at the 128 FBS Division 1A teams in the country, Eastern Michigan makes the top five for the worst programs. I mean, this has been a really, really bad team for a long time. I think they're 0-53 all-time against power conference teams, 0-8 against the SEC. They've barely been competitive with the power conference teams they've played over the years. They're barely competitive in the Mid-American Conference. So if there's any game where Missouri's going to get its offense in gear and kind of get ready to see if they're going to be competitive against the real teams on their schedule, it would be this one for now.
Eastern Michigan, I see, just pinned 61 points on the Mississippi Valley State Devil Dogs. Does that mean anything at all? Probably not.
Mississippi Valley State is one of the worst FCS 1AA teams, so it's like a really terrible team beating a much worse team. So I don't know if I put a whole lot of stock in that one. Right. I think CBC would maybe give a better game than Mississippi Valley State.
Oh, K-Dets.
Really? Wow. So what kind of Missouri team are you expecting? Did you learn a lot from that West Virginia game? First game under a new coach, it's kind of hard to draw too many conclusions, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit, and especially when, you know, Missouri's not accustomed to playing, you know, a pretty good team, especially on the road in that first game. I thought the defense was pretty disappointing. I mean, that's the side of this team that you'd expect to be pretty sturdy and reliable. And they didn't tackle very well. They looked kind of disorganized. They gave up big plays, which is something they never did last year. Missouri was the best defense in the country statistically at limiting opponents to big plays. And they gave up a whole bunch, you know, on the ground and in the air. And that, I think that has to be a little bit alarming. The offense showed progress from last year. It'd be hard not to. But they just couldn't punch it in once they got to the red zone. They had multiple problems and breakdowns when they got close to the goal line. But they did put up some yards. Drew Locke looked much more competent than he did a year ago. The offensive line, I think, eased some concerns there. So I think there was progress, you know, on that side of the ball. But defensively, they raised some red flags, I think.
You know, I believe I saw that Missouri ran more offensive plays than any other team in the nation this last week. So at least they're trying to do something different. They're trying to get some high tempo offense going.
Yeah, they're really played at a fast pace, and that's something that Josh Heupel, their new coordinator, he did that when he was at Oklahoma, even way back when he was the quarterbacks coach there, and Sam Bradford was the quarterback and won the Heisman. I mean, they just went at an electric pace, and that's what Missouri's trying to do, to try to get any advantage on a defense. To keep them kind of on their heels. But you got to be able to get first downs to do that. Otherwise, you're off the field in 45 seconds, which they were on the first possession of the game, but then you've got to put your defense back out there and, if your defense is getting tired and it's not very deep, all of a sudden you're really putting them in at a disadvantage. So I think they've got to coordinate that tempo a little bit better, depending on how they're playing on the other side of the ball. But again, I don't know if they're really going to be tested in this game enough to where, you know, we know if they've got those kinks worked out or not.
You worried about the freshman kicker, Tucker McCann, who missed a chip shot and missed his other field goal try? I mean, that it may not matter this week, but it could down the road.
Yeah. I would be if I'm Barry Odom. I mean, they have a lot of faith in this kid. They gave him a scholarship. Missouri in the past never gave scholarships to kickers and punters. They brought them in as walk-ons and made them earn that scholarship. But this is a kid who was, you know, rated the number one high school kicker in the country. He chose Missouri over Alabama and Florida State, and he was pretty much going to be the starter wherever he went. But yeah, he looked really shaky on Saturday. I mean, he missed a chip shot field goal. He had a really bad kickoff, and then he missed a 42 yarder, which is forgivable, I guess, but not a 24 yarder. So yeah, I think they've got to be concerned. And then late in that game, when it made more sense to kick an extra point on that late touchdown, they went for two. They ended up getting it, but I think that showed again not a lot of faith in the freshman. So maybe he'll do better at home. But with an offense like this, they need a reliable kicker if they're going to have breakdowns in the red zone and not be able to punch in touchdowns.
Yeah, it'd be great if he could kick three or four this Saturday and get over that mental hurdle. If he's got that much talent that he was number one in the nation, you know it's there somewhere.
You would think. You know, he comes from right over the river in O'Fallon and was really a highly touted kid. But this is a different kind of pressure when you're on this stage. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles that.
I like the fact that they're going to wear black and gold uniforms.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah, I'm thrilled over it, actually. Is that a big deal anywhere other than with me? Does anybody else?
I am with you.
Does anybody in Columbia care?
I hear the complaints. I mean, I think it's a generational thing. But, you know, last week they had to wear the all whites before Labor Day, just get those out of the way.
Oh yeah.
And now they're back to more color coordinated, college coordinated colors. We'll see how long that lasts.
Can't wear white again until after Easter. No.
That's right.
If you're going by the uniform code.
Is that the code?
Yeah. What kind of crowd are they expecting? Have you heard that? Is attendance expected to be down?
They're about 5,000-6,000 down from their season ticket sales from a year ago. A year ago, though, they sold the second most amount of season tickets ever. And they expected this after a losing season. They do believe, and this might just be spin, but when you're down for season ticket sales, you usually sell more game day single game tickets because you know you've got more of an inventory. So we'll see. Games like this, it's not a sexy opponent. They're 0-1. The weather's been terrible the last 2 days here in Columbia, and that could be a factor for people that are, you know, doing the single game tickets. So I don't know. 60,000, I don't think they'll hit that. They weren't hitting that at the end of last year in SEC games. So I think somewhere in the low 50s.
Saw the article on Gary Pinkel in the paper today.
Yeah, I would recommend that to our audience, Dave. That's a good piece.
What is he doing basically? How's he spending his time nowadays?
Like he said when I asked him that question, I'm doing anything I want. He really seems to be enjoying this. It's hard for him because this is his first time in 50 some odd years that he's away from college football this time of year. But he's kind of spending some quality time with his kids. He's got adult kids that all have their own families. He can go see them whenever he wants. He's trying to figure out some hobbies. He's never had time for hobbies, really. He's spending a lot of time with his wife and doing things around town. They go to concerts. They go to shows. He's still under contract with the university. He's basically on call with them whenever they want him to be at a speaking function or a fundraising event. And I think he'll be more involved now under Jim Sterk, who he seems to have a pretty good rapport with, and who's green lighting this, what was Pinkel's vision of building this facility south of the stadium, which is back on. He's really happy about that, I'm sure. So he's just trying to find his way. He doesn't want to be involved with the football team. He doesn't want to be on the sideline or taking any attention away from Barry Odom, but he's trying to be a fan. He's going to tailgate tomorrow for the first time that he can ever remember. He doesn't even know how, he said, but he's going to try to figure it out and just figure out this next chapter of his life.
I see the quote in your article. Again, you can read it in the Post-Dispatch or online at stltoday.com. Dave Matter catching up for an hour-long interview with Gary Pinkel. I got emotional for about 2 or 3 minutes. I knew it was going to happen. I just didn't know when it was going to happen. So does that mean that he was, like, crying when the game kicked off? Is that an accurate?
Well, he got up Saturday morning in Columbia. They were hosting a bunch of friends and family at their house to watch the game. And he had to get out of there before they showed up. He said he went and got some coffee. And I don't know if he was in his Jeep or if he was, you know, kind of at the coffee shop or whatever. But he said he got really emotional because he knew this is the time of day when the team's getting together and they're having their pregame meal. And, you know, now it's Barry's job, and he was by himself. And I think it was sort of acceptance that this is really happening now. It's one thing to retire back in December and go through the off season. It's another thing to be on game day and know that they're about to kick off and you're not wearing that headset. You're not on that sideline for the first time in a long time. So, yeah, he said he got emotional about it. But then he had a house full of grandkids and company back at his house, so he had to be – you know, back on those duties there. But yeah, I thought it was pretty revealing that he admitted that, and he was very open, very engaging. He's letting his guard down because, frankly, he doesn't need to keep it up anymore. And it was nice to see.
How's his health?
He's doing well. He still has to get scans. You know, every so often, he really has to monitor his health. He looks really good. You know, he says that the biggest thing is to keep his stress low, and he said that's great because he doesn't have any right now in any way of life, really. So he's doing okay. You know, this is his type of cancer. There's no cure. There's no really even strong treatment for it. You just have to manage it. So he says he's doing okay.
Well, I don't follow that. I mean, if you don't mind me asking, I don't follow that, and I'm not. I know you're not a doctor either, but you can have lymphoma, and then it can be treated to the point that it's no longer in your system. So is this a different kind of situation?
I don't know. The exact term is in the story. I can't remember exactly what it was. He's tried to describe it to me before. I read about it a little bit back in the fall when it revealed that he had it. But it's basically something you just have to live with. And I don't know exactly what kind of medicine he's on for it, but it's just something you kind of have to live with, and it's not something that goes away. From what he's kind of described it to me, and from what I've read about it, it is a different kind of a deal. It's not, I don't think it's all that common.
Follicular lymphoma, a form of non-Hodgkin lymphoma, is what Dave has in the article.
Yeah. Gary Pinkel had such a great career at Mizzou for a decade and a half. He took over a program that was falling apart. He built it into a program worthy of being taken into the SEC. Enrollment went up by like 10 or 12,000. Everybody was there ready to build a statue to the guy. And then, unfortunately, he kind of left the program in a similar situation that he inherited in. Did he reflect on that at all?
Yeah, you know, he said there's about 5 or 6 games he would like to change the outcome of. And he said not necessarily the conference championship games, because those would be the easy ones. He says he wished he could win one more game last year so they wouldn't have that stigma of a losing season. And the same thing their first year in the SEC. But, you know, he's not somebody that sits around with a bunch of regrets and reflects too much on things where, you know, he wishes he could change it, because he knows he can't. We talked a little bit about, on and off the record, about last fall and the controversy with the boycott. You know, and he still stands by what he did there. I think he really feels like he was kind of in a no-win situation.
Right.
With the program. At that point, he had already decided that he was going to retire, and he was basically just trying to tread water at that point, because there was absolutely no blueprint for what was going on at Mizzou. There was no coach he could call up and say, hey, what did you do that time when your players boycotted? He was kind of at a loss there. So I think he still feels good about what he did there. He's really happy with things that are going on at the university, the turnaround there, and he wants to be part of it too. He could easily just check out and say, hey, I'm going to go sit on the beach for the rest of my life, but he really wants to be engaged in the university and help Barry in any way that he can.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I just thought the way he handled the boycott soured a lot of people, and hopefully they can get over that.
He's aware of that. He's aware of that, but, you know, I don't think there's much he can really do now except just help in whatever area he can.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Doug. I don't, but when you try to, when I try to, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouths, but when I try to take a step back from that, as Dave made reference just in a very brief statement, but it is what we talked about back in November when it was going on, realistically, that's an important word here, I don't know what he could have done. And you go, well, you can just tell your players they got to go play. But then the ramifications of that. You know, it's an easy thing to say, but you always have to play out the hand and the ramifications of that. And that's why I don't know if he was... I disagree with Jonathan Butler, but I don't throw the baby out with the bathwater because I think there may be quite a bit of merit to the cause. I don't know. I've never been an African-American student at the University of Missouri, so I just have to attempt to empathize the best I can. I just thought he was a demagogue, and I thought they attached themselves to him without doing due diligence, and I thought that was irresponsible. But as the head coach, I don't know what he could have done there. But I do agree with all of you that that's, at least at this moment, part of and a significant part of his legacy, despite, you know, what was a rebuilding of a program to levels that I never thought were possible. The fact that Missouri was number one in the country and going to SEC championship games, holy crap, I never thought that was possible when that started.
And how that whole thing unfolded, now we have hindsight to look back on it. When it's just unfolding and the kids, your kids that you're coaching seem sincere, I do think at that time he didn't really have a choice.
Yeah, he was in a tough spot.
What do you think on that, Dave?
You know, one thing, too, is you know, and at the time we didn't know that he had this cancer diagnosis and he wasn't planning on coaching for another year. I don't think in his mind he was thinking, okay, Barry Odom's going to replace me. But that is who he wanted to replace him. And I think it had to be on his mind, okay, if I turn my back on these players, whether or not I agree with their stance and this protest, this is going to be really hard for my successor and for this program going forward. To recruit black players. And if that's Barry Odom's job, I'm going to make it really tough on him if I turn my back on these kids. Now, I don't know how calculated he was in that, but that was definitely a thought that ran through people's minds at Missouri in regards to how they would handle this. What I think the hope was that Sunday after those players announced the boycott, there was a big, huge meeting with Mac Rhodes and Gary Pinkel and all the players. They were buying time. They were hoping that this would die down and that the things on campus would kind of take care of themselves, whether that be Tim Wolf resigned, stepped down on his own, and that things could go back to normal as quickly as possible without anybody on the football team having to take some kind of serious action or stance. And it didn't really happen like that. It took until Wolf finally did step down the next day. And the longer that dragged on, the longer the football team's kind of prominence in all of this became a big factor. So it was really a bizarre time, and I think it's easy now that we all look back in hindsight, and any people that are critical of Gary, they weren't in his shoes. They didn't have to decide at 8:30 on a Saturday night when he's got his African-American players on the phone saying they want to boycott. What does he do? You know, no one else was in that position except him, and I just don't think he had many good options
right
at the time.
That's the thing.
He wanted them to wait on it and talk about it the next day in person, and we know that didn't happen.
Yeah. How much do you think that lingers over, A, the program, and B, the university right now? I think there are some people, and the reason I asked that, Dave, and I obviously want to get your answer, otherwise I wouldn't ask the question, but I think there are some people right now who are like, I'm turned off, and also the team's not that good, and so when Missouri would otherwise have an opportunity to seize this market, for example, if on the off chance they would have had an 07 or 08 or 13 or 14, 14 wasn't that great. They got the SEC championship game, though. But those three teams that were at least fun to watch in 07, 08, and 13, even though 08 had no defense, they could really capitalize on getting the football fan on the eastern side of the state that doesn't have anything to watch or who does not have anything to watch on Sundays anymore, at least in allegiance to a team. And instead, I think there's a great deal of apathy, and in some case, I think there's some repulsion toward the program because of at least the perception of what took place in Columbia in November.
I think there's some of that. I also think if they would have beaten West Virginia by 14 points, some of that repulsion goes away.
Yes.
Because people like to enjoy their football team. And I think true colors would have come out then to some degree. There's always going to be, you know, the angry fan that's upset about that last year. It's the reason that Jamon Moore drops a pass in the West Virginia game or drops two passes, and all of a sudden you go on Twitter and he's the Antichrist. I mean, people want to take away this kid's scholarship. I think it probably has more to do with the fact that he was involved in the boycott and pretty outspoken in it last year, not that he's dropped a couple passes, when he also was their best receiver that day. So, you know, it's a funny situation, and there's just so many different opinions out there, and I think a lot of it is influenced by how the team is doing. I mean, frankly, if this team last year was as good as those 07 or 13 teams, the boycott maybe doesn't ever happen anyway because they've got too much at stake, and we're not talking about this a year later. So just there's just so many forces kind of aligned at the time that made this into one of the most extraordinary situations that had so many lingering effects a year later, just from the people that aren't at Mizzou anymore, for one, and the people that are. It's you could write a book about it all if people would ever, you know, really be honest about what happened and how they really feel. We know how a lot of fans feel. We just need to go in the comments section at stltoday.com and see that. But
so the high-level discussion.
They really speak for the – I don't know if they really speak for the entire, you know, population of Missouri fans.
Well, I think you're absolutely right when you say winning cures everything. You just hope that they can start winning soon because at least the potential is there. If they struggle for the next 2 or 3 years, we could be dialing the clock back 25 years for Missouri football.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this league is unforgiving. If you have a bad year and some bad recruiting classes follow that, you can get buried pretty quickly. You know, that's I think the good thing is we saw last week outside of Georgia, and I think Tennessee is probably better than they showed last week. This SEC East is not very good. I mean, there's no reason they shouldn't be able to beat a Vanderbilt, Kentucky, even on the road at South Carolina. I think they've still got a lot of winnable games on the schedule. And I think maybe by the end of the year, West Virginia might be better than people thought. But you know, they're going to get a real test next week when Georgia comes to town. If they're competitive in that game, I think people will feel a lot better about this team. If it's an absolute blowout, then people are going to start panicking and wondering, you know, where the direction of this program is headed. So we'll know more as the season goes on, like you do with every team. But this is it's a really interesting time just because it wasn't too long ago that this was a top 10 program, and now we're wondering, was that kind of an outlier or was last year more the start of a trend?
Dave Matter, Post-Dispatch, also a member here of 590 The Fan. Doug, and really most importantly, he went to St. Louis University High School, and that's kind of that.
Couldn't get into Kirkwood.
Couldn't do it. Dave, enjoy the festivities tomorrow. We always appreciate the time, sir.
Okay, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, Matsy.
He goes by Matsy?
Wow. Yeah.
DraftKings guest of the day, and if you want to play in our DraftKings game, all the information is on the TMA fan page. Doug, and that reminds me, there are some people who want to join this fan page, such as Drew Breeshauer.
Oh, Breezy.
Breeshacker?
Drew Breeze.
What about Olaf Drew?
Olaf, he's from Russia, isn't
he's
he?
He's in now.
Or Sweden. Is that Sweden or Russian?
I'm sure. Scott Wilson, you're in. Stephen Pope, you're in. Jen Dilly. Dilly's in. Another female, Doug.
All right.
Michael Viz, he's in. Danny Lodeholtz.
What?
Danny Lodeholtz. Thank you.
Sounds like a great American.
Yes, he does.
Danny Lodeholtz, what's up?
Terry Sapper, he's in. Jack Mormon, he's in. Matt Robinson, he's in. Right. Rob Witzel, he's in.
Hello, Witzel.
You ought to get that Rob Witzel.
Got him! Got him.
Got him in the fold.
3,915 members. Can we get another 85 members between now and the end of the show?
Is there a prize to be the 4,000th member?
Yeah,
Keefe. I'll give away 2 field box seats to the Cardinal game.
If you're the 4,000th member. Now people are going to wait until some other people join, and then they'll pounce.
Pounce.
And scene.
But everybody wants to hear their name on the show and the honor that it gets you.
Yeah.
Doug just planted the seed. Don't do it now, wait. Yeah. See, he planted the seed.
But it wouldn't take a big brain to figure that out.
Yeah, but people are caught up in the euphoria of Tim reading their names live on the air.
Yeah, that has to be a thrill.
I don't know how much euphoria is involved.
Go the ball up in my teeth.
Look, here's your proof. Erdzy signed up twice just so Tim said his name twice.
Tim, can I leave the page and come back?
Yes.
That's from Eric.
Yeah, that's what could happen now. You could have 3,900 all of a sudden leave real quick so they can be the 4,000.
The tickets off the table.
Yeah, tickets are now off the table. All right. They might go back on the table.
You just never know around here what's on and
or
off
maybe
the
I'll
table.
Give maybe I'll give tickets away for the 3,926th member.
Or maybe you'll just keep them for yourself and attend a game and have a nice time.
Mm.
We can hang out.
You're working, baby. You're working.
That's true.
You're working.
But during the game, you're just kind of hanging out, right?
You never know when there's a hit. We go to Jim Hayes for the latest. That's what happens.
You don't watch the games, but I do them.
There could be a hit in there somewhere, sure.
Doug, let me tell you about a new sponsor here on the all-new 590 The Fan, a new sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and it is Mattress Direct. I want to see the Plowboy get a better mattress because the Plowboy is not getting sleep, and we need the Plowboy firing on all cylinders because now he's in charge of our jock. That's what it's called, man. I don't know what it means.
He's in charge of our jock.
That's right. Isn't that what it's called, Plowhawk? Ladies and gentlemen, the Plowboy.
He's disc jockeying?
That is correct, Tim. Couldn't have said it better myself.
You consider yourself a jock?
No, I don't.
No, the thing is called the jock, right?
Yeah.
All these levers and pulleys that you're
tugging
on?
Yeah, a jock or a deck, if you prefer deck.
I don't want
a
deck, no.
You know what we ought to get for Plowsy is one of those Bobby Brown headsets, you know, where he says,
oh, yeah, my prerogative.
Right, Ted, we out of here?
Yeah, he's talking to Teddy.
Because that way he can move around and work the board and still be there when we talk to him.
I like that.
Because right now he's got to go here and there. He's all over the place.
Oh, Doug, Jason Burke just joined.
Hello, Burke. See?
Doug said you'll never get Burke.
No, nope. I thought.
Wonder how he feels.
I thought he was on the other side.
And Cal Kennedy has texted me to let me know that the St. Gabriel Athletic Association will be returning to the Lemming Golf Tournament in October at Normandy. So Cal Kennedy will be there, too.
He will?
Yep.
Speaking of the Lemming thing that's going on, that T-shirt that we gave Holiday.
Yeah, he loves
it. You
know,
he's back. You know, he's now taking swings, fighting his way back. I saw him yesterday. Did not have the Lemming T-shirt on. I'm going to have to talk to that man and say, you want the good mojo. You got to put that thing on.
I wonder what's wrong with him there.
Probably streaming right now.
Yeah. Just a maverick.
Doug, because your mattress comes direct from the factory, Mattress Direct doesn't have an inventory to manage. No inventory means that there's no need to push any one product. And that's the difference at Mattress Direct, our new sponsor here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Sleep Specialist will get you the one that's right for you. If you wouldn't buy something that was the wrong size or didn't serve you right, just because it was on sale, it doesn't make sense to do that with a mattress because Mattress Direct has the factory direct lowest price every day. Their sleep specialist can focus on getting you the right bed instead of playing sales games. Any bed you choose will be the lowest price. Don't get them confused with the other guys. This is Mattress Direct, and Mattress Direct is the only place in town that has the lowest possible price every single day. No one is going to twist your arm over sales and gimmicks. They are just there to help you find the bed that's right for you. That's because they order your mattress direct from the factory, meaning they don't have to pressure you to buy a certain bed just because they need to clear out inventory, and that's very important. It saves you money, gives you a better bed. It's Mattress Direct, the bed you want, made for you, direct from the factory, Mattress Direct. We will take a commercial break, big 9 o'clock hour. We have the Wheelhouse Picks of the Week. We have our Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week. We have our email of the day, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. We're giving 3 tickets to the Cardinals and Cubs for the Bud Bash on Tuesday. That includes a mini bobblehead of Jim Edmonds. So send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Graham Benzinger in the studio. In the
he brought donuts.
And I saw that he brought donuts.
On his own.
How about that? Well, I felt like you asked about
Nobody
it.
Nobody said anything about it.
That's a nice kid.
Yeah, we didn't expect that.
He's 30 now.
Well, when you're old, like Doug and I.
Am I still a kid at 39?
Yes.
Oh, really? No.
Doug
really?
And I, we're like crawling into the grave as we speak.
Because I'll hang out with those We Are Live quote kids.
Mm-hmm.
And Denman and Travis go to Hannah and Gainsey, their kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at Denman and Travis like their kids. And so then I'm like the grandfather.
It's all perspective, baby.
I saw We Are Live had Gilbert Gottfried in studio yesterday.
Yeah.
How great is that?
I hate to say
it. They got a good thing going,
I think, man. I think that might be the hottest show at the station.
It's the hottest show in this town or any other.
It's good for them. And then, you know, we have other shows. There's this one in the, you know, Frank, start up the new show.
When they put the writers together, that'll
when
be
does
a
that go
show.
On? The blocking? The,
it's been
the
on
blocking?
Since, it's
got to
be January.
Soon.
It's been going on since January.
Blocking. What is it? What is it? The block? The block.
Writers Casey block. Pullman. Curtis Baldwin. Chris Knight, Jimmy Hudson.
Oh, Hudsy.
My God, they're all now members of the TMA fan page. All right, coming up at 9 o'clock hour, it's Ryan Kelly Morning.